Tonight we have Lori Harden. She's a regional speaker trainer, and she is going to be talking on timelines, tags, and tweets for speakers. And she's going to share it about the social media and how these tools can propel your speaking ministry. And she's going to give you tips on Facebook and Twitter and learn ways to reach others and share truth and connect with the social community. And Lori is, she's not a speaker trainer, she's a speaker consultant for the Western Division, Golden Gate Region, and she also serves as the women's pastor for her home church and fills several leadership roles in her home area for writing groups. She does Christian counseling, and she has her own nonprofit organization. She and her husband have been raising a blended family that includes three sons for almost 15 years. I wonder what she does in her spare time between 2 and 4 a.m., but with warmth and humor, Lori loves to share her heart on several topics relevant to today's woman. So I'm going to open us with prayer, and then Lori's going to take over. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together with our speakers. We know that all of our time is precious, and we thank you that they have taken time out of their busy day to be with us. And we pray, Father God, that you will open all of our eyes to how we can be more effective in sharing your love with others. And Father, we thank you for Lori, and I ask you to anoint her and use her in this time to help us all gain better understanding and knowledge of how to share your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And Lori, you take it over now.
Okay, well, I'd like to start by welcoming everyone to this call, and I'd also like to say thanks to you, Linda, for moderating this call, so thank you so much. And I'd also like to thank the Stonecroft Speaker Consultants who prayed for me last week when my computer crashed. Thankfully, by the grace of God and my amazing techie sister, all of my files were restored and my notes were found. And so thank you for praying for me. As we go through the points of this call, I realize that many of you will have questions spring to mind as I cover each point. And so we're going to have some Q&A portions that follow each major segment of the call. But to help keep this call in a generalized format, I'd like to put my email address out to you all to jot down. And that way you can send questions of a more exclusionary nature to me, and I can give them the attention they deserve. So for those of you that want to write this down, my email is leadingladybug@gmail.com. That's leadingladybug, all lowercase, @gmail.com. So now that we have that out of the way, I'd like to open with a scripture that speaks to fellowship. And it's from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And I actually have a couple of different translations to share with you. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. Another version reads like this. And let us keep paying attention to one another in order to spur each other on to love and good deeds. And finally, let us consider how to inspire each other to greater love and to righteous deeds. And I think it's safe to say that social media is definitely a modern-day version of fellowship. People use these programs and applications to interact with friends and associates for a variety of reasons. But social media can also be a great platform to expand your ministry. While many of us might consider this a relatively new vehicle for expanding our territory, did you know that Facebook turned 10 years old in February? And another fact to consider is that it continues to be the dominant social network among Americans, used by 57% of adults and 73% of teens. And those figures come from the Pew Research Center. 44% of Facebook users like their friends' posted content, and 29% do this several times throughout the day. And we'll talk about what like means in just a minute. 20% of Facebook users have between 250 and 500 friends on their timeline. Now, following Facebook, and no pun intended, Twitter is 7 years old, and there are about 1 billion registered users. And that figure was actually last updated in September of 2013. With 100 million daily active users, sending an average number of 500 million tweets per day, the average number of followers per Twitter user is 208. So for this call, although I'm going to primarily focus on Facebook and Twitter, I'll give a brief mention to a couple of other social media platforms. There's Instagram, where your life with friends is shared through pictures and videos. Snapchat is another photo messaging system where users send their photos or snaps to a list of recipients they control. Google Plus is a social network where you create circles and decide what to share with those in those circles. And there's also LinkedIn, which is a network where you can manage your professional identity and actually access opportunities such as jobs and careers through groups of peers and friends. And as we speak on this call, I have no doubt that the latest and greatest social media app is being developed by some quiet teenager in his basement. So let's talk about, first we'll talk about Facebook. And I want to give you a couple of glossary terms so that you will know what we mean when we refer to those terms as I'm talking and as others ask questions. And the first one is timeline, which is sometimes referred to as your profile. And that's your collection. Your timeline is your collection of the photos and stories and experiences that tell your story. And your news feed is an ongoing list of updates on your homepage in Facebook that shows you what's new with your friends and the pages that you follow or that you like. And then the term like. Like is a clicking option under each posted status or photo that you see. Clicking like is a way to give positive feedback and connect with the things that you care about. And there are options to like a page that you search and find in Facebook. And liking a page will ensure that you see that page's update and you stay informed about what's going on that page. So those are some of the more common terms associated with Facebook. So let's talk about Facebook. Facebook was designed to maintain a network of friends where you share life, updates, and more with these friends. Now, when you create a Facebook account, you're asked to do things like put in your real name and not necessarily have a username, because the idea behind this social media platform was that you would be interacting with those close to you, your friends. Now, if you're on Facebook, you have probably learned that you can and you will interact with people that you wouldn't necessarily call friends. Maybe you've gotten connected with a classmate you haven't talked to in 20 years. Maybe that classmate didn't talk to you 20 years ago and wants to talk to you now. And although you briefly wonder what might be different about her now versus when you were rivals in high school, you accept her friend request, or she accepts yours. But the general idea behind Facebook is that it's a social network to share life with friends and those closest to you. So in that spirit, Facebook limits your friends to 5,000. What a nice intimate group, don't you think? Because many people use Facebook to create a business or ministry profile, the frustration of having this 5,000 friend limit is why you should consider creating what is known as a Facebook page rather than a Facebook profile. Now, you need a profile to create a page, but the difference is that your profile would be used to interact with those you call friends, and a page would be used to interact with those interested in your ministry or business. Additionally, when you post on that page that you own and that you act as administrator for, you're posting as that page and not yourself. And this is especially helpful so that people visiting your page can identify with administrative posts versus comments left by visitors and followers. Those users who like your ministry page would not have access to your personal profile because you haven't added them to your profile as a friend. However, it's important to pay attention to your privacy settings in Facebook so that general people who are searching for your name on Facebook can't see your private profile updates by simply putting your name into their search bar. Facebook changes constantly, so it is important to keep updated on your account's privacy settings. And there's a lot of help and support, FAQs, and forums that can help guide you through that process. And there's no doubt in my mind that they've probably updated some sort of privacy setting while we're speaking. But now, once you've created your profile and you want to create a page for your ministry, you can use that created page to post information about your speaking or events you're involved in, or daily posts that have an inspirational message or even a Bible verse that you want to share. You can increase the exposure to your page by then sharing that post on your own profile. And in order to do that, you click the share option next to the like option to make that happen. Again, that still doesn't allow page followers to see your profile's private information. Again, just remember that a profile is different than a page. Even though we might casually refer to, oh, my Facebook page, really what that means is your profile. A page is a separate option inside Facebook once you've created a profile. Now, only your friends would, if you share your profile's private information, or you share the status on your page on your profile, only your friends that are added see the share at that point. But you can increase what is known as viral activity by asking friends to share your status as well, especially if you want to promote an event or a part of your ministry. Think of it like a virus. And so just like a virus spreads, like the common cold, the more people sharing your post, the more people catch the post. And so that increases your territory and expands exposure to your ministry or your speaking. Now, I do want to address those of you who may have already created a ministry profile and not a page, and maybe right now you are facing the issue of hitting that 5,000 friend limit, and you're wondering what to do. Well, the good news is that Facebook does have the capability to convert that profile to a page. You would simply use what's called the profile to business page migration, and that's available in the Facebook Pages Help portal. All you have to do is do a search up in the search bar to look for it, and you'll find it very quickly. That's available within your account. And there are specific steps to follow through this migration process, and you will want to be sure that you have backed up your photos and other things on your current profile that you lost during the process. And so if you happen to use this feature and you have been operating what's known as Facebook groups, which I'll cover in a moment, you will want to appoint some administrators to help moderate your group, since once you become a page and you don't have that profile anymore, you will no longer be able to admin those groups. So only profiles, you know, also known as people, can admin a group. Now, speaking of groups, another option that some users prefer is what is called a Facebook group. And a Facebook group is a private space where you can keep in touch with people by sharing updates, photos, and documents. Some people that join your group aren't necessarily your friend. They find your group and they can ask to join it. You can set the privacy of the group to be opened or closed. You can adjust the settings so that people have to request to join, but they can't automatically join. And you can adjust it so that any member that's in the group can add a new member, or you can set it so that only a group administrator can approve new members to the group. And there is even an option to set the group to completely secret, where only added members can see the group name or who belongs to the group, and it's completely private. Now, many are finding that creating a Facebook group is the best option for their ministry because they can keep it somewhat private in terms of the personal information that's shared within that group, where a page doesn't really do that. Everything on the page is public. But at the same time, the group name is visible so that people can actually find you and request to join, which I imagine you would want if you're trying to expand your speaking in your ministry. And groups are easy to create, and those who belong to the group will also find that they receive the updates more often from group posts rather than standard page updates. Facebook has flip-flopped back and forth on this whole issue, and I would suspect that it mostly has to do with advertising revenue. What Facebook does is will determine friends that you're interacting with the most and pages that you're visiting the most, and that will be generally what you see in your newsfeed commonly and automatically. And sometimes if you haven't visited a page or commented on a page in a while, you may not see the posts come across in your newsfeed. Facebook seems to do a really good job, or a really bad job, if you ask me, of deciding who I should interact with. And so that can be one of the annoying things about Facebook. But what I wanted to restate is that they've kind of flip-flopped back and forth on the issue and of seeing what page updates you get, and I think it mostly has to do with advertising revenue. Because as a business page, or a ministry page, Facebook would naturally expect that you would invest some advertising dollars, and when many businesses didn't put money into their Facebook pages, the company didn't really respond well. And so they haven't always been helpful to the page owners out there. Facebook does have advertising options called promoted posts, where you can set a budget, and Facebook will use its settings to fly your posts across random news feeds or certain demographics that you target. Occasionally, if you have a Facebook account, you might see what's called a sponsored post or a suggested page accompanied by a page that you don't remember liking or following, and that's a promoted post. Although Facebook is free, and I can do a number of things to make sure my ministry information gets to my Facebook followers, I have still found the promoted post option to be very beneficial at times, especially when I want event information to be put into the news feeds of people that I'm not associated with, but I want to reach through a set of determined demographics. Now, in Facebook, you can also tag friends in your status updates on your profile by preceding their name with what is called the at symbol, located usually above the number 2 key on most keyboards. And this links that person to your post, and they'll get a notice that you've tagged them. And it's a great way to pull people together into the post and create conversation. And I found this also to be an excellent way to encourage others by tagging them when I want to thank them for help or their involvement in my ministry or other projects. It can serve as an instant thank you note. And you can also use the tagging feature on photos that you post if you want to share with family and friends. And there are a number of ways that tagging can benefit your Facebook experience. So in terms of this section on Facebook, I am going to now open it up for any questions and answers. Again, I'll restate my email address, because if you have a specific or exclusionary question that would relate to your personal ministry, I'd love to answer those, via email so I can give them the attention they deserve. Linda, if you wouldn't mind, or I guess if people have questions, unmute your phone. Is that how that works?
Yes, and you would hit #6 to unmute your phone and to ask a question.
Okay, very good.
I've got a question. This is Deb Platt from Michigan.
Okay.
You just mentioned something about thanking people or encouraging them by putting a hashtag before their name.
No, it's the at symbol, actually. Thank you.
Oh, the at symbol.
Yeah.
And this is a Facebook that you have?
This is a Facebook, yes. If you use the at symbol above the number 2, and that person is your friend, you can tag them in a post. And I found it to be an excellent way to encourage people.
Right. I've never heard that. And I wondered, what's the difference between that or when I start typing somebody's name and it shows up and I click on it so their whole name shows up? Is that something different than the app?
Yeah, you've just done the same thing. I think Facebook has made it a little easier, but I have, just because I've been on Facebook for a few years, I just, by habit, I use that at symbol and I make sure that I've got the right name. But you
okay.
are making that feature easier for people, and you may not necessarily have to use the at symbol.
Okay, great. And how do I unmute myself?
I think you'd hit pound six again.
Okay. Thank you.
Hopefully.
If you hear me breathing, let me know.
Okay.
Aloha, Lori. This is Jen McGeehan in Hawaii. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Hi. Hey, quick question. Can you give us an idea of what the cost is if you wanted to, you know, do a what you were talking about, promoted posts?
Yes, that's the great, that is one of the great things about the promoted posts. You can actually set your own budget. I have advertised and promoted something for as little as $2. I've went as high as $30. Kind of depend, and really the sky's the limit, but it will also give you some parameters and suggest, hey, if you really want to reach people, you might try $10 or $5. So it's a really great
okay.
In the sense that you can set your own budget.
So I go on to my Facebook page. I have just, you know, a regular profile, and I have a group.
Okay.
So if I go on to my profile page, where do I go to look at these, you know, setting up a doing a promoted post? What do I go from there?
Well, when you're doing your own, you know, that's where you don't really have where you promote your posts on your profile. This
okay.
would be more of the business sense in using and creating a page. And that's why if you're getting to that place where you think, okay, maybe this should be a page and not a profile, then maybe it's time to do that business page migration. And then that would open up the whole option of advertising and promoting your post.
Got it. So you have to have a page first to do a promoted post.
Yeah, because Facebook, you know, the whole premise behind Facebook was you're interacting with your close, intimate friends, you know, even though you have 5,000
I wish I had 5,000, but I don't. So. But thank you. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, no problem.
Lori,
okay,
do you want to go on to the next?
Okay, are we ready to move on to the next section? Sure.
Yes.
Okay, so let me move on to Twitter, and I will start again by giving you a couple of glossary terms for this portion. And the first term is mention. It's called a mention. You can bring a tweet to a user's attention by including their username in that tweet. And to do this, similar to Facebook, you use the at sign, which appears above the number 2 on most keyboards, and their username. And you can see who's mentioned you in the mentions section of your Twitter profile. And then there's one of the most common, popular terms we hear in Twitter is the hashtag. Users often add the hashtag symbol, you may recognize it as the pound symbol, before words and phrases in their tweets to categorize them for others or to organize conversations around a theme. And users can click on hashtags to see themed tweets, tweets that have a similar theme. And then there's follow, follower, and unfollow. And to follow someone on Twitter is to subscribe to their tweet in your timeline. A follower is another Twitter user who has followed you. And to stop following another Twitter user is to unfollow them. And once you do this, their tweets no longer show up in your timeline. And then the next term is tweet, and that's a message posted via Twitter containing 140 characters or less. And then there is timeline. Similar to Facebook, your timeline is a list of real-time tweets from the users you are following. So let's talk about Twitter. Twitter is an online social networking and microblogging service that enables users to send and read tweets, which are text messages limited to 140 characters. Now, the basic idea of Twitter was to answer the question, what are you doing? Registered users can read and post tweets, but unregistered users can only read them. The definition of Twitter is a short burst of inconsequential information, or chirps from birds. And that's exactly what the product now known as Twitter was in its development. But I would say that your tweets can be anything but inconsequential.
There are statistics and polls that suggest Christian tweets as the most rapidly growing segment of Twitter. Just about every Christian speaker, artist, author, performer maintains a Twitter network, and they provide daily updates or information about his or her ministry. Twitter might be the place where breaking news is most often heard. And it is thought that Twitter is the fastest growing outlet for worldwide evangelism in our time. So I would say it's an exciting time to be part of the social media world. Now you can create a Twitter account, and there are helps to guide you through this process. You will be asked to select a username, and you will begin working a little bit on a profile page, not as extensive as Facebook, but you'll upload a photo of yourself or a photo that maybe represents your user or your ministry name. You can include a bio of your personal or your ministry information. And you can begin sending tweets out to the world almost immediately. Now, Twitter is less intimate in that anyone that finds your name can read your tweets. However, they must follow you in order to be able to send you what's called a direct message or a DM. Once you've created your profile, you can begin searching for others to follow. You build your network by following people who often follow you back. And you can chat with others by using that hashtag to drive all of your posts to a certain subject. And then you've created a stream where you can see all those posts together. Now, unlike Facebook, you don't have to have a profile to create a page. You would maintain these in separate Twitter accounts, but you would need separate emails to support having the two separate accounts, because often you use your email to log in. I use my personal email for my Lori Harton profile, and I use my ministry's email for my ministry page. Now remember, Twitter is limited to 140 characters for each tweet, so you will sometimes get creative in shortening words for posts to ensure that all of the posts is included in the tweet. This can be fun, but it can also be frustrating. So spend some time looking at how others post and see how abbreviation is used. Spend some time learning what creates an effective post through the use of hashtags. Sometimes through the use of the hashtag, you can increase your territory by simply preceding a common word with the hashtag, because anybody searching for that word will find some of your posts. Now, possibly because of the 140 character limit, I have found Twitter to be a slightly more professional outlook over Facebook. Although lots of ministries and businesses use both of these programs to create exposure for themselves, I often find people talking more about Twitter in professional circles and Facebook in personal circles. I personally think it's wise to maintain a presence on both platforms, but it's important to consider how each of them might benefit your ministry with their individual features. That brings me to a slight word of caution. As the social media world increases, and as developers streamline these types of apps and things to work together, the option to link your social media apps will also increase. Even now, in order to use a YouTube account, if you want to create YouTube and register and sign in, you're actually directed to create a Google account. And I would caution you to avoid these linkings as much as you can. Sometimes they can't be avoided, but I would definitely recommend you try to avoid the linkings. Let me give you an example. A friend mentioned the other day that she didn't realize somewhere along the way, she had connected her Facebook social media account with her Amazon shopping account. And through an almost accidental situation, she discovered that her Facebook friends could see what she was browsing and shopping for on Amazon. And so if you want to surprise somebody with a gift, that would not be a good idea. But even when you open a Twitter account, it also provides you with the option to post your Twitter updates to Facebook. And although you may be posting to both, in my experience, I have found it better to keep the account separate and use a third-party client program such as Hootsuite if I want to post identical status updates to both Facebook and Twitter. And you can email me if you have questions about that.
Again, my email is leadingladybug@gmail.com for those of you who didn't catch it earlier. So if you're interested in Hootsuite and other client programs, we can talk about that over email. And so like Facebook, Twitter also has a promoted post feature. And these are called campaigns, and you can select a campaign that will gather more followers for you, or you can start a campaign that will reach more people with a specific tweet that you've tweeted. You can start immediately, and you can run it continuously, or you can customize a start and end date to help you stay within a certain budget. You can ask Twitter to decide who to target based on similar interests and followers, or you can determine your own targeting data by where you target your existing customers and prospects. And so I'm just beginning, actually, to start a Twitter campaign for my ministry. And so that kind of brings me to a close on the practical portions of our call, but I'm happy to answer some general questions in regards to the Twitter segment before we move on to the final portion.
Well, if you have a question, hit #6 so that we can hear the question.
This is Steve Bonner, Kagan. I have a question.
Okay.
You mentioned Hootsuite. Is TweetDeck also safe then?
Yes, TweetDeck is another one of the third-party client programs. When I was talking about the linking, I was talking about when you're linking the accounts together. The third-party client program, it serves a little bit different where you're not showing your friends what you're searching on. You know, for example, I used my friend's example of because she had Amazon and Facebook linked together, it was posting updates on her behalf to her Facebook page. It said, oh, she's shopping for this book, or, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah. You wouldn't be able to surprise somebody.
Exactly. And there can be some more dangerous ways, or not really, dangerous is kind of a hard word, but there can be other things that can happen. I had a friend who created a Pinterest account. Somewhere in the setting up of that Pinterest account, she linked it to her Facebook, but she happened to have a really easy hackable password on her Pinterest. So a hacker hacked into her Pinterest account and posted some X-rated things that fed over to her Facebook account. So there's lots. So I would just really recommend trying not to link those things together if you can avoid it. And obviously have, you know, a strong password.
Thank you.
Lori, I have a question about the last part you were talking about, the tweets. Did you say there is a cost involved? What were you talking about there at the end?
I was talking about you can do a campaign. Just like Facebook has what's called promoted posts, Twitter has campaigns where you can, if you want to increase your follower base or if you want to reach people with a specific tweet that you've tweeted, they also have a option in your Twitter account to start what's called a campaign. You set your budget, set your demographics.
Okay. And is there a way you can find out if you have inadvertently linked your accounts?
I'm looking at my Twitter account right now because Twitter, if you go to your settings pages in Twitter, it will show you what you've given permission to. And I'm looking over here at my Facebook. It will show you, because what it will say is that you've authorized this app to access your Twitter information. And you can do that in your account settings in Facebook as well. It will show you, if you can go to your settings and if you want to update any of your privacy things, any of those things, all those links are there, and it will show you what you've given permission to. And you can undo that.
Excellent. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions on this segment?
Hey, Lori.
Yes?
I'm Karen Casper, the field director, and I hope there's not too much noise. I'm driving because I hope where I was supposed to be, but I'm in Southern California traffic at rush hour, so there you have it.
Yeah,
My question is this. I have noticed that if I go and follow certain people, like Christian musicians or artists, sometimes I get an immediate follow back. Is there a way to do a setting that anybody who starts to follow you, it automatically has you following them?
Not that I'm aware of. What I have found, there are, and I have yet to be successful on any of them, and I don't know why this is, because I generally know my way around these things. But there is something that you can, there are what is supposed to be called auto-direct message features and apps that you can add to something like Twitter, where you would say, hey, thanks for the follow, you know, and if you have, you know, for example, I have my Lori Harton account, I have my ministry account, so what I do is send a message to new followers on one page that says, hey, I'd love to have you check out this page, too. But the Twitter's back and forth on that. They don't, because of spam concerns, they don't necessarily encourage the use of those auto-direct messages. But I don't know of any way short of going to making the deliberate, intentional follow some sort of automatic follow. And I can see arguments for both sides of that.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem.
Now, when you talk about these campaigns, what do people consider a reasonable amount to spend on one, and what would be the advantage?
Well, in terms of if I wanted to increase the knowledge of what I'm offering as a speaker or in a ministry, you know, again, I'll just restate that you can go as low as, you know, and when you set, you could try setting a budget for $2, where the program, you know, the platform may say, hey, you might consider a little bit more money. I don't think you're going to reach, you know, they're not going to think that you're going to reach that many people. But really, the sky is the limit. You would, you know, just personally have to decide what do I want to invest in this, you know. And like I said, I've invested as low as, you know, anywhere from $3 to $5 to as much as $30 to $50, just kind of depending on what, you know, what message I wanted to send and what I had hoped to accomplish.
Hey, Lori, this is Jim Lee in Hawaii again.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, I'm on my Twitter page, and I am a complete newbie on that. I just got it set up, and I am in the settings area, and I can't find the campaign. Where do I find the campaign button? I'm just trying to follow along as you're telling us this.
If you go back up to the settings, if you go back up to the little wheel that where you where it would show you, you would see Twitter ads.
All I see is my name, edit profile, list help, keyboard shortcuts, settings, and find out.
You don't have Twitter ads?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so let's connect via email, and we'll work on that.
Got it. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Okay.
Okay, Laura, let's go into the next section.
Okay, so I think it's important to note here that as speakers for Stonecross, we can walk a fine line by representing Stonecross as a speaker and introducing a potential conflict of interest by blurring the lines between our Stonecross connections and our own ministry endeavors. Remember, when we agreed to speak for Stonecross, part of that agreement included to not promote or reference outside projects and causes and campaigns and personal books and business interests and seminars. If you're going to use social media to include your Stonecross endeavors, it would be important to touch base with your regional speaker trainer or your Stonecross speaker consultant to avoid the self-promotion trap that the ministry discourages. And so in light of that, we're going to be moving on to the next portion, the final portion of the presentation tonight, which is I'm going to briefly reintroduce the guidelines for your web presence as a Stonecross speaker, which we discussed last fall. And I'm going to start by encouraging you with the scripture taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Yet I am so thankful to God, who always marches us to victory under the banner of the Anointed One. And through us, he spreads the beautiful fragrance of his knowledge to every corner of the earth. Our ability to communicate via the World Wide Web has now made it possible to reach every corner of the earth, just as this scripture reads. And so with that in mind, I use this verse to ask myself a very important question. Is my next Facebook status update going to spread Christ's Facebook presence? I made the decision a while back to use social media as a vehicle to spread the fragrance of Christ and not as my personal dirty laundry bag, as I began to see a disturbing trend emerge on Facebook and Twitter. Because in the name of keeping it real, I have watched many dear sisters in Christ behave very differently on the web than they do in church or at speaking engagement. In fact, as one picture has so bluntly stated it, Santa saw your Facebook. You're getting a Bible and clothes for Christmas. Well, if you've encountered similar situations, I'm sure that you can agree that this presents a quandary. You know, we weigh freedom of speech against good etiquette with each uploaded photo or new status update. Now, when my teenagers first created Facebook accounts and they were tempted to post every feeling, every thought and emotion, and they would include photographic illustrations of those posts, we had to lay down some ground rules that I call Facebook 101. I explained to them that their Facebook wall could be compared to the garage door that was in our driveway. And I asked them if they would spray paint on the garage door the same message they just posted on their Facebook wall so that everyone on the street could see it. Well, of course, they said, no way. But when I explained to them that in essence, they had just done that on their Facebook wall, only their potential audience was much larger, they were horrified. It was a very sobering moment. I wish I could say that this behavior was limited to our younger generation. But sadly, I have come across pages and profiles that I follow, and I have found ladies scantily dressed, rants and posts filled with profanity, and comments that range from politically controversial to outright offensive. And so there are times when I'm quite surprised to find the lady I just saw worshiping in church spewing out hate-filled rhetoric on her Facebook page. But sadly, it's growing more common. So from a spiritual perspective, as speakers for Stonecroft, we are ambassadors for Christ, and we have the potential to have a large circle of influence. And as social media grows, the digital manner in which we communicate has made the world a much smaller place. Even if you don't pass out a business card when you speak, people remember names. And nowadays, it doesn't take much to look you up on Twitter or Facebook, friend or follow you, and then others have access to you. So consider this as you post your photos and your information. Just as we talked about in previous calls and trainings, we're on before we're on. And this is crucial to remember when it comes to the Internet. Because when it comes to the Internet, we are on before we're on forever. It's also important to take a moment to address some social media etiquette in here because I think it's important for us to have a few tips in our arsenal to make for a successful social media experience. And so I'm going to share with you the results of a survey taken called The Most Annoying Kind of Facebook Update. And it starts with 24% agreed that intentionally vague posts meant to generate concern and attention. It's also known as vague booking. Example, Jennifer wonders whether it's all been worth it. So naturally that leaves you wondering what's going on and everybody's asking questions and the poster doesn't respond. That's what's called vague booking. 20% cited chronic complaining. Example, ugh, who ordered this ring? It's making my carpal tunnel act up again. 19% stated meaningless calls to action, such as, if you want to fight world hunger, put the color of your socks as your status update for the next half hour. I want to see who's brave enough to take a stand. 14% agreed, oversharing. And this is actually a real-life example taken from a Facebook page that I recently saw. It belongs to a frustrated wife. Okay, how many times do the in-laws have to call in a day to talk to their little boy who is 46, I might add? I think I counted 6, insert expletive, times yesterday. Your little boy is grown up now. Hello? 13% pointed to miscellaneous posts. including polarizing religious or political statements, indecipherable text speak, game updates. And I would add here unsolicited invitations to friends to join a game. And 10% agree posting too frequently, such as 1203, chicken salad or tuna. 1212, chicken. Thanks for the responses. Well, along with these survey tips, from a practical perspective, the best advice I could give you is to be sure that you're trained in the use of these very powerful tools. You can do yourself an incredible favor by learning more about those privacy settings and account preferences for each social media site that you use. For example, on Facebook, if you choose to share a funny video or a funny photo all in good, clean fun, keep in mind that unless you've downloaded the photo to your own computer and then reposted, it will keep the source information. Many friends are surprised to learn that the clean photo they thought they were sharing actually carries page source information that included choice or letter words. And other friends will see something that they thought they were sharing with friends. They'll click on the link, and it creates a spamming virus that posts pornography to all of your friends or followers' walls. And last time I checked, that was not good publicity for us as speakers. From an eternal perspective, as Christian leaders in our world, we should take advantage of social media, blog websites, and other available platforms for communicating that life-changing message of the gospel. Never before have we had such amazing opportunities to reach so many for Christ. But with that, we should be exercising good digital stewardship. So ask yourself, does my online profile represent Jesus well? And I'll take a couple of quick questions because I know we're getting towards the end of our call. But if anybody has questions on this section, I'd love to answer them.
Hey, Lori. Sorry, Jen again in Hawaii.
Okay.
You touched very briefly on the sensitivity of being a Stonecroft speaker and, you know, with promoting yourself and, you know, something that you're working on, a book or whatever. Can you kind of expound upon that just a little bit more? Because as far as promoting ourselves as a Stonecroft speaker, we can do that, you know, of course, through Stonecroft, who, you know, connects with clubs and organizations and or clubs in the area that we're planning on visiting or where we live, that kind of thing. Then, as far as when you talk about our ministry, you know, I myself want to be able to take that message to Stonecroft and then beyond. So, you know, can you just address that a little more?
It's a very fine line, and so you would obviously want to make sure you're touching base with your own regional speaker trainer. Just in the sense of, you know, your books, you know, for example, we know the book approval process, what we just want to do is make sure that we don't cross the line. In another project that I'm involved in, it's a highly regulated industry. And I have people ask me all the time for my cards, and legally I'm not able to give them to them. But it actually works out well because what it can do is, it just speaks to making sure that you're the best representation of Stonecroft when you're at a Stonecroft event. And I realize that there's always going to be situations where we encounter somebody, and they bring the associations together. In the sense of social media, I would say, you know, use the available Stonecroft pages and groups to kind of focus on that Stonecroft side of your speaking and your ministry. And this happens a lot. I mean, on our own pages, we may be saying, oh, we're speaking for this Christian Women's Connection. And I don't know that there's any policy against things like that. It's just that, you know, you want to just exercise caution when you're linking those together because, for example, if maybe your personal denominational beliefs maybe are, you know, where Stonecroft comes from a non-denominational standpoint, you would just want to be careful in the sense of how that gets interpreted by somebody who found you through Stonecroft.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
I think, this is Emily, I think one of our concerns is that speakers who want to speak in other states go through the process of having their own regional speaker trainer or Stonecroft speaker consultant be the liaison between their home state and the state where they would like to speak. And so we want to avoid, I think, on social media, promoting ourselves saying, I'm going to be in the state of Michigan July 4th through September 6th, and can you get me some speaking engagements? I mean, that is what we want to avoid, I think, and one of those lines that we don't want to cross. And I really appreciate what Lori has said about the presence that we have as representatives of this ministry. And so I really thank you, Lori, for sharing that cautionary and encouraging word for all of us.
My pleasure. And thank you, Emily, for adding to that and making it more clear for all of us. So if there isn't any other questions, I know that we're getting to the end of our time. In closing, I'd just like to leave you with some encouragement. You can increase your territory through timelines, tags, and tweets, and you can make a lasting impression with your web presence as a speaker. But you're going to just want to decide whether that impression is good or bad, because when it comes to the Internet, it will last forever. So I want to turn it back over to Linda at this point.
Lauren, thank you so much for helping us understand social media a little bit better. I kind of got afraid of it for a while, and now I'm thinking of getting back in there and seeing a little bit more about it, other than just having my personal page and watching what my friends put on. We are going to be having another speaker national conference call on April 10th, and it's going to be, the title is Book Me. And this is talking about some of the things we just ended with, about self-promotion and how to promote maybe if you have a book or media protocol and other topics that aren't some of our speakers who do have books and things available. How do we walk that fine line? And Jan Mather and I are both going to be sharing on these topics about how to get out there without being a little pushy. And so we hope you'll join us on April 10th at the same time. If you're out way out west, it'll be 5 p.m., except I guess Hawaii. And if you're in the eastern seaboard, it'll be 8 again. And we just thank you all so much for your dedication to our ministry, for your being so willing to listen in today. And I do hope that you will take Lori up on her wanting to help you if you have some personal concerns that weren't covered or just need some more clarification. And thank you all so much for being with us tonight. We appreciate it, and we hope to hear you all back on April 10th at the same time. All the same numbers are the same, and so we'll see you back then. And remember, you can listen to this recording in a couple of days at I've lost my note on, you go to the website, and it is stonecroft.org/national calls, and if one of your friends who's a speaker missed the call, please go and listen to it there, too. So have a good night, and stay warm, and we will talk to y'all in April. Bye-bye.